that's what the Police Name Project is about, is it's looking for a way of not only preserving Tlingit language, but actively using it.
Looking at the original names of places in the Chilkat Valley, and engineers weigh in on the slope movement in Haines this winter. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A major paving project in downtown Haines began this week. Orange cones lined 2nd Avenue between Main and Union Streets on Monday as work began to tear up and replace road surface, curbs, and sidewalks. The project will also include work on Main Street from Front Street to Allen Road and on portions of Allen Road. The work on the state road is being done by Southeast Road Builders of Haines. The result will replace all of the road and sidewalks on 2nd, with Main Street getting new pavement and some areas of new sidewalk, said Southeast Road Builders President Roger Schnabel.
So you'll get a complete new facelift on 2nd. However, on Main, it'll be a little bit different. The state of Alaska has gone on to that project and identified areas that they feel need to be improved upon, and those are selected areas where we'll remove curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and then replace it accordingly. So you won't get a complete facelift on Main Street like you will on 2nd, but basically the end result will just be an improvement to the road.
The work will disrupt some vehicle and pedestrian traffic during the summer. The grinding up of the current asphalt will be the loudest part of the project for residents and businesses along the route, said Schnabel.
It is what it is. I feel badly, but I don't know really how to reduce that, the noise itself, and it's just one of those things that we have to grind the asphalt up.
The work is expected to be completed by the end of July. The $2.7 million project is mostly funded by federal highway funds. Engineers issued a draft report in March about the winter slope movement near Ocean View and Lutac Roads in Haines. Shifting ground on the Ocean View hillside was first reported January 16th and continued for several weeks. Cracks developed in the roads. A main sewer line at one point was breached, but diverted and fixed within 24 hours. One family moved from their home because of cracking and shifting of their house. And the Borough Assembly declared a disaster of the area at an emergency meeting in February. The draft report by PND engineers from Seattle was made public last week after Borough Public Works and Facility Director Brian Lemke read it. He said the draft doesn't offer much insight into the precise cause of the slope movement, and the borough is waiting for more information before deciding how to move forward.
They're actually going to make another site visit to see what it looks like without the snow, and they haven't pulled in all the information that the state's gathered yet. So it's a draft report, and it's a complicated report, at least for me. I'm not a geologist, and so there was just a limited amount of information that I could get out of it, and I couldn't really draw any conclusions.
In the report, engineers discuss the soil samples taken from around the slope area. It discusses area of silty sand and gravel and the high moisture content of some samples. In a section about slope stability, the report states that the slow movement suggests soft, saturated conditions that may be close to the liquid limits in some areas. Engineers also discuss the amount of surface water and groundwater in the neighborhood. In their recommendations, engineers suggest several options of drainage control to decrease the amount of surface and groundwater. They state that in discussions with homeowners, surface water flow and drainage has in the past been dealt with individually, not as a neighborhood or by the borough. Lemke said while no recent movement in the area has been noticed, the borough and state continue to monitor it.
Now that the snow's gone, we've located some more cracks, and the whole thing is what's going on there is a little easier to see. But I think we did have one concerned person up there give us a call that they thought that on Ocean View there were some cracks opening up, but I think they were existing, but they were buried beneath the snow. And we still, two or three times a day we drive up there. We're still concerned about the water line that's in Ocean View, and there was a lot of movement there, and that's we're thinking that might be stressed. We had an engineer looking at that last week, so we're still watching it.
The full report is available on the Hainesboro website at hainesboro.us. recent newscast, we shared a story about a new atlas available through the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. The project provides a comprehensive listing of Southeast Native place names and their origins. A somewhat similar project is being done in the Chilkat Valley right now. The Place Name Project is part of a 2-year grant bringing together the Haines Public Library and Chilkoot Indian Association on a number of cultural programs. The grant, called Crossing Boundaries Through Communication, from the Institute of Museum and Library Services, began with a survey through the Chilkoot Indian Association. Tribal members identified an interest in creating programs that increased communication and preserved Tlingit language. The Place Name Project is one of the ideas to evolve from that survey. Interim Education Coordinator at the library, John Hagen, has been involved with the project for a few months now.
And that's what the Place Name Project is about, is that it's looking for a way of not only preserving Tlingit language, but actively using it.
The working group for the project includes members of the Chilkoot Indian Association, Tokshinuk Watershed Council, and others. The group has identified 25 place names in the Chilkat Valley to focus on at the start of the project. Students at Klukwan and Haines schools are helping research the names and places and compiling oral interviews, videos, and photos. All the information will eventually be presented through an interpretive map and display at the library later this year. The project provides insight into how places were called before explorers and settlers arrived in the area. The mix of English, Spanish, and Russian names used for many places nowadays are usually derived from people's names in a way of honoring them. But Hagen says Tlingit names usually evolve from defining physical features of a place or how the area was used by people.
It all could have been based on you're going through this world on a canoe or on foot, and it's a lot different world when you're on a slower pace, living off the land and interacting with the environment. It's all about, there's one observation, is many of the place names are based on environmental interactions.
Researching the names can cause some confusion between historical and present day names. For example, Hagen said the origins of the name Seduction Point are conflicting.
One of the common stories about how he got his name was there was some women that were out there while their husbands were out halibut fishing, and some settlers or something like that had raped and murdered those women while the husbands were out halibut fishing, and then threw them in a cave. There's a story to that effect, and it's pretty intense story. And that's how I thought that. I was told that Seduction Point got its name.
A second story about how Seduction Point was named comes from when British explorer Captain James Cook came to the area.
But then there's a secondary explanation of Captain Cook, when he was first exploring Southeast Alaska, had a little bit of confusion when he ran into Tlingit people that were at Seduction Point. He had some kind of mixed messages coming from the people, whether he should come into where they were at or not. It was something that was might be a little bit different definition of seduction.
But strip all that away, and the name Seduction Point has no origin in Tlingit culture. The Tlingit name for the area simply describes the two coves at that location.
The Tlingit names have nothing to do with the fact that an explorer passed through here 200 years ago, or a ship crashed on that rock, or somebody happened to be a senator at some time and wanted to be honored by a rock in Alaska.
Hagen said for him, as someone who grew up in Haines, the project is enlightening and makes him see places differently than he has before. He always knew Tank Farm Point toward Lutak as just that. But through the project, he's learned it was also the site of a village called Tanani, meaning fish always jump at this point.
By learning about the rich heritage of this single little point out on the way out to the ferry terminal, it's changed the way I think about the place. I think about the places in Chilkat Valley. And I would hope that other people would come walk away with that with a similar kind of learning, and not just visitors and tourists. I hope those people come away with a greater sense of that Haines isn't just what it is now, that it's had a very rich cultural past, and it's proceeding to a very rich cultural future.
Other cultural programs made possible for the grant continue at the library, including a presentation May 8th on edible plants that can be collected along local beaches. For more information, visit HaynesLibrary.org. This is Margaret Friedenauer for KHNS News. Visit our news section online at khns.org to find links with more information about some of these stories. We're always open to your comments and story ideas. You can reach us by emailing news@khns.org. Thanks for your support.